This is 1360 AM.
WNJC. Washington Township. Philadelphia. Philadelphia's Renaissance Radio Station. Brought to you from Forsyth Broadcasting. Or listen to us at WNJCRadio.com.
Welcome to Practice Preparedness, and with your host, Will Hemingway. And we wish you a happy holiday, Merry Christmas, and everything else that goes along with it, including all that lovely traffic out there surrounding all of the major shopping areas. Oh, isn't that fun? Yes, I was reminded again yesterday how between the beginning of December and around January sometime, when all the returns are completed, that the drive from my house to the Deptford Mall, which normally takes about 6 minutes, takes around 43 minutes.
Quite an increase, yeah.
Yeah, so
not fun.
I was smart enough to take a different path to the radio station today. So today's topic is going to be hygiene off-grid, both pre-disaster and post-disaster. And we're going to cover some things. But before I get into it, I want to touch again on a subject I talked about on the one of the previous shows, because it is so important. As you notice, and anybody who didn't, I'm worried about why, except if you didn't go outside. Maybe you're still in your underwear playing Xbox all day, I don't know. But the weather is quite interesting right now. One day we have 70.
It's supposed to be 72 on Christmas Eve.
That's what I heard. And like yet it dropped into the 20s.
Yeah, it's bipolar.
Yeah, it's really odd.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just bedded down my rabbits because they were freezing like little ice blocks on the floor in the hutch. I just built them out a whole heated area now to keep them from turning into rabbit pops. And, you know, it's amazing how fast it goes from one extreme to the other without any warning in between.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, let me just remind you, when we're talking about preparedness, this is not all about doom and gloom and the end of the world. But one thing about real survivalism and preparedness is that you're either always prepared or you're not prepared at all. And with this weather, and every time we have a change in weather, should be a real impetus for you to go through what you have in your preparations in order to make sure that you're up to speed to help yourself and avoid having a problem. So winter storm and winter weather survival kits, if you are going out and driving, then you should be going through your car now, not waiting until you're stuck, in order to make sure that you have what you need. And some of the things that we need to consider are winterize your vehicle. If you don't know how, take it to somebody who does. It's not that expensive. If you wait until your block freezes in your engine because you had a leak last year and only put in water and don't have any antifreeze, you will have a very bad day when you pop all the freeze plugs out of your engine.
Long day,
and
for sure.
So make sure you have, and you have some extra antifreeze in your car, mixed 50-50, because if you overheat, and yes, it happens in the wintertime, you get, especially if there's snow, if it blocks the flow of air through your grill, you will not cool your engine well enough. If you're sitting in traffic, you'll overheat. It happens in the winter also. People don't think of it because it's cold outside.
Yeah, I didn't think of it.
It's really important, because having that can save you. Even if you don't have this skill, if someone stops to help you and you have what they need and all they have to do is apply a skill, you win.
Yeah.
And that's really key. Remember also, I mentioned it last week, keep your gas tank as close to fill as possible. The extreme temperature changes increase the likelihood of water vapor condensing in your gas tank and then running down into your gas, and then you suck water into your fuel intake and you destroy your fuel injectors and have all kinds of other problems.
Wow.
The other thing about it is you need to have a kit not only for your car, like a jump pack or a set of jumper cables, preferably a 20-foot pair. Okay. You can get a 20-foot pair for a pretty good price. I think they're in the $25 range right now at Tractor Supply.
Okay.
And they're really good, high-quality 2-gauge ones, not these wimpy that look like an extension cord that wouldn't start a lawn tractor in 10 years. So you really need to think about these things. And someone very close to me today in their aggravation of their situation said something to me today that sparked me to want to speak about this. They said that because they're a person without a country, so to speak, moving, they don't have their own home anymore, they're in a limbo land position, that they don't have anything. I know for a fact they have a $100 jump box, but they don't know where it is because they don't have their own house. But my point is, it doesn't belong in the house. It belongs in your vehicle. I did surveillance for the better part of 20 out of my 30 years as an investigator in a vehicle, sometimes not being able to leave the vehicle for 20 to 30 hours at a time. You learned how to go to the bathroom in the vehicle. You learned how to cook in the vehicle. You learned how to eat and hygiene and everything else. And all that happened without ever getting out of the vehicle because if you did, you'd give away your position.
So
there's nothing and no excuse why not to have the ability to take care of yourself and your vehicle with you in your vehicle. So cell phone charger, and I highly recommend an extra one and an extra cable because I had it happen to me last week again. I was in somehow during one of the classes I was giving. I came shy of wire. I took the wire out of my truck that charges my phone and took it in with me, and then it grew legs.
Really?
So now I didn't have a way to charge my phone in the car. Not a good thing. Blankets, preferably wool.
Okay.
And if even better, if you have a 0-degree sleeping bag, it rolls up. It's small. It stays clean.
Yeah.
Toss it in the car. You can play Cocoon in the back seat if you want to. And if you got somebody nice with you, maybe you can do other things to stay warm too.
Sure.
You need flashlights and batteries separate.
Mm.
And you need a good knife with you, preferably not a folder because they break.
Right.
And they're more likely to cut you. And remember that a dull knife is more likely to cut you than a sharp one. And even if you do cut yourself, a sharp knife will make a wound that will heal about three times more rapidly than that of a dull knife. Non-perishable foods should be in your bag in the car or in a tote in the trunk. Or if you have an SUV or a Jeep like me, you can toss it in a tote, whatever. If you have animals and you have a cat, you can use the kitty litter bins. And if you don't want them, send them to me because I love them. They're rectangular. They make really easy for storage in your vehicle. These are simple things. The other things, too, that you should consider are things like wool socks, two-pair. Because if you screw up and you don't have mittens or gloves or you get them wet, you can put a pair of wool socks on your hands, and they're like mittens, and they will keep your hands from getting frostbite. Other things like non-perishable food, power bars, bottles of water. This time of year, it's okay to keep bottled water in your car.
Okay.
In the summer, it's not because most of the bottled water are in BPA bottles. They will emit toluene and other poisons into your water when they reach 98 degrees. But in the winter, the worst you're going to have is have it freeze.
Yeah.
If it's snowing outside, it's really not a good idea to eat snow.
No.
And by the way, most people don't know, but if you ever looked across a snowbank that's been there for a few days, especially if there are trees that will shade it, it will get a pink hue on the top of the snow, which is actually a type of fungus that grows on it that will cause you a nasty intestinal sickness that will give you the runs and worse. So if you're ever going to get in the position to use snow for water, you need to have a means to boil it first so that you at least kill off most of it. Or if you have a if you have a like a rapid pure filter or a Sawyer filter 0.02 or better, then you can run it through there so that you make sure you don't get any intestinal bacterias or viruses and such. So the other things that you need too are you can put kitty litter in a bucket, a 5-gallon bucket with a lid on in your car. Fill it up. Get one of those 50-pound bags. They're really cheap. You can get them even at Dollar General or whatever for under $5 a lot of times. Doesn't have to be anything fancy. Put it in, preferably with inside of 2 or 3 trash bags.
Okay.
Wrap it up, put the lid on, put it in your car. If you really had to go, you can go in the bucket, in the kitty litter. And then you can just pull the bag out later, and in between time, just tie it up and it put the lid on, and you don't have a problem. The other side of the coin is, if you live in South Jersey, for instance, or Pennsylvania, where there are lots of hills, then anyone in the Camden County area who has ever driven during an ice time up Evesham Road toward Whitehorse Pike has ever stopped at the red light and watch the cars play slip and slide into each other and not go anywhere because it turns into a gigantic sheet of ice. All you need to do is toss down a couple of cupfuls of kitty litter and you will get enough traction to get yourself away. Kitty litter is generally made out of clay. So it acts as a warm spot, it will cut into it, and it will also just give you general traction. Those are some of the things. Having a shovel. Last year, they have them again. I saw in Walmart the other day. They have kits for about $25, $30 with a foldable shovel. You can get the shovel itself for about $15. On clearance right after Christmas last year, they went down to $8.
Wow.
And they're aluminum. They don't add weight to your car, but you have a snow shovel that you can dig holes out to get your tires loose. The other things that people don't really think about are things like having a scraper in the car, because it's not snowing, we know that, so you don't need it,
right,
even though when you get wherever you are, you might be there for all day and then come out and have it snowing, and you're doing what people I saw in the parking lots doing last year, using a credit card to scrape their windshield, and that's not really very effective. The other thing is, check your windshield wipers and add antifreeze into your windshield washing fluid so that it does not freeze up. That way you can wash your windshield, because even if the wipers are working, you're going to be in a position where the schmutz coming up off of the road on the cars in front of you will mess up your windshield and you won't be able to see.
Right.
And as it gets dark and their headlights are on, it will glow on your windshield. So there's some ideas of some things about the wintertime that we're coming into for you to think about, because it's really important that you're prepared, and that's the whole point of the show. So today's subject, hygiene, is one of my key core skill set classes that I give quite regularly, and it's really important because people really don't pay enough attention to the whole theme of hygiene. Whether we are talking about hygiene in the sense that if the if we are in a position where we are grid down, or just on a normal side, either way, it's really important that you know how to practice hygiene. The other day, I was in a restaurant that I will leave nameless, and while I was in there, a gentleman in his probably early 60s walked into the bathroom, went into the stall. I was washing my hands and could hear what he was doing, and much to my shock and amazement, before I got done washing my hands, he was out the door.
Really?
And had never stopped at the sink and never washed his hands. And then later was outside handling utensils at the salad bar. This is reality. Yeah. But what's really important about that point is age has nothing to do with knowledge and understanding of what's going on. And so what you have is you are surrounded by people who really, even in good times, have no clue about at all about good hygiene practices.
Okay.
And so we're going to talk about hygiene practices, and I'm going to go into some. I've asked a couple of people that I'm friends with to give us a buzz in at some point tonight to talk about some things about medical, if you have an injury, and hygiene that way, and also some people who do soap making at home.
Really?
So if you can do this on a time when you have function and capability and become skilled at it when you don't have those abilities, you still can do it because you're not slogging your way through. Now, on one other, I'm going to segue for a second because I was reading some of my hundreds of sit reps and situation reports that I get every day today, and one really struck me, and that is that the people who use Apple products have touted for years that they are above having problems with viruses and Trojans and whatnot. And of course, the reason for that in a lot of ways has to do with the number of desktops that are served and the number of desktop targets that you do with one action, mean that those who have a higher number are going to be the more likely ones to get hit with viruses and Trojans and the like. But now Apple is starting to experience problems more and more. And if you have Apple products and you are using an Apple product, whether it's an iPhone or whether it's a Mac or any other variant of the iPad or anything, then we recommend that you contact our sponsor, MaxServe. They're based out of Belmar. You can call Sam there. He's the founding owner of MaxServe. Their phone number is 888-818-MACS, and their email address is info@maxserve.com. They have been in business since 1997. They handle everything Apple and Mac that there is to be handled. So if you give them a call, they can help you out. Call them at MaxServe at 888-818-MACS. And talk to Sam as I trip over my tongue.
There you go.
So back to hygiene. We have a caller.
Rose.
Oh, okay. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Rose. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Will?
Alrighty. So we were talking before, and you were telling me that you've been dabbling in doing home soap making, right?
Yeah, I learned how to make lye soap. It's easier than you think.
Mm-hmm. So how hard was it the first time you went about it, and what did you need? If you were grit down, would you be able to do it?
Let me think. We could do it as long as we had a supply of lye.
Okay. And, of course, lye is the white part of the ash that comes out of a wood fire.
Right. So
this is why people who talk about taking the carbon from burned wood and using that to filter their water worries me all the time, unless they understand that the white part of the ash is actually lye. If you add water to the white ash, it makes lye.
Yeah, you have to allow it to evaporate, the water to evaporate. Right. Often what's left behind is the lye.
Mm-hmm. So did you add to it, or did you do oils in with it, or anything like that, or did you do straight up lye soap?
We made straight up lye soap. The only ingredients you need was the lye and the whatever kind of fats you're going to use. You can use lard. You can use olive oil. We used olive oil and coconut oil, so any kind of fats will work.
Hmm. And how long does it take to set up once you mix the concoction up and put it into a mold?
You're supposed to allow it to age like 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
Get nice and hard, and then that soap will last a long time.
Right, because if I understand it correctly, the shorter the time, the more rapidly that it melts in water, right,
yes.
And it dissipates.
Yes, that's correct. So I let mine age for like 6 weeks.
I see. Now that's good for what? For doing laundry with and all, right?
Yeah, you can use it for anything. And I really love it because it really holds a lather better than any soap I've ever used.
Right, so the bubbles being the surfactant part of it that pull it up. And then on the surface tension that it creates on the bubbles, it carries away the dirt, which is the whole premise of it. Interesting.
Yes. So it's much easier than most people think. I thought it would be really dangerous and difficult to make, but it wasn't.
It's one of the few things, and you know I've done a lot, but it's one of the few things I've never ventured into. And I
that's surprising. It seems like you've done it all.
One of the things about it, I think, that always made me lay back from it was that in the corporate world and in the investigative and the risk management side, I dealt with people who were burned by lye. So I've always been really, really cautious about the whole thing with that.
You have to practice caution. You have to wear your rubber gloves and safety glasses. And they can't breathe the lye in. Once you start mixing it with the water, you can't breathe. It fumes you. So we did it outside. So we wouldn't have any danger with that.
Well, that's good. How far? What did you use? Did you use like? I know some people use things like. They'll put it into either a very narrow bread loaf pan, or they'll and then cut it, or they'll put it into cupcake tins.
Yeah, we bought the silicone cupcake pans, which made it very easy to remove them.
Oh, okay.
And then they came out really nice. We had a little lavender scent with the essential oils, and they just came out very nice. In fact, I think I gave you one.
Yes, you did. It's sitting next to my sink, still wrapped up. Every time I go to use that, I'm like, it's so pretty. Yeah. I don't know if I want to mess it up.
Yeah, but there's so many recipes on the YouTube now that it makes it, and really great directions, so it makes it really easy to attempt to do it on your own. So I would encourage everyone to try. It's a great project. And not to be fearful of it, because it's just a matter of just exercising a little precaution when you're working with the lye.
Okay, well, I appreciate you calling in and giving us a little input.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now. So, and you see, and the point is that you see that people can go and learn this, and it's not that complicated, and it's just one more skill that you can add into the pile. And this chair squeaks so much, I'm going to throw it against the wall in a minute.
Just don't aim for me, okay? Throw it that way.
I'm gonna end up bringing my own lawn chair or something in here, I swear.
Bring one for me, okay? This is about as uncomfortable as that is.
Yeah, well, at least this one's pleather or whatever, so I don't have to worry. It can at least be cleaned. A material covered one. I worry.
Yeah, me too. Believe me.
When we're speaking about hygiene, that's really an important piece to the matter. You know, a couple of years ago, I had taken my sons on the high speed line, and then afterwards, I had gotten them used to it. When we were up in New York City, I took them onto the 1 and 2 train that runs through the lower half of Manhattan. Okay. And when we got on the train, unlike the ones in the speed line, they're formed fiberglass seats, and when we had a person sit down on the seat next to where we were standing, when they got up, they left a brown stripe on the seat. It was completely and utterly disgusting. And we were stunned because people were offering for us to sit down in the seat, and we kept saying no because we knew. And what were you going to say? You know, that guy just stood up and left a brown stripe on the seat. But we're looking at it, pointing at the stripe, going, no. And it really brought home with a conversation that I had with my kids then that, you know, you really don't know half of the time what it is you're touching. Right. The flip side of it is things like these waterless hand cleaners and all are actually more destructive than they are helpful. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about making your own soap. We have a caller?
Yes, we do.
Alrighty. Hello? Hello?
Hello, it's Treves. How are you?
Hey, Treves, how you doing?
Doing fantastic.
Alrighty. Now, Treves, she's one of my regular inputters into my classes. She's awesome. She's one of my favorite people. She owns... Would I call you? I think I'd call you eclectic, wouldn't I? I think that works. She owns Whimsical Farms. And what town is it in Delaware?
We're down in Newark, Delaware, Will.
Newark, okay. And she has a great, is it a farm format? I forget what you actually refer to it as.
It's a little farm. We've got 15 acres, and I'm just doing my thing down here.
There you go. She's got pretty much Noah's Ark going on down there. She's a phenomenally talented artist and sculptor, and you name it, she does it. And people who look at me and say, oh, come on, you couldn't do it, if you saw Treves, you'd be saying the same thing. There is nothing that I've ever seen Treves come across that she can't do. Now, I know you do soap too, right?
Yeah, I've made a lot of soap. It's, and just like Rose said, it's super easy. I mean, the first time you do it, you're waiting. There's a, you know, when you're actually mixing up, once you've got your lye and your fats and you've got everything at the right temperature, you kind of wait till you just get a little, you'll sort of dribble it off your spoon and you'll see it just start to kind of create the pattern. At that point, you pour it out in your mold. So just that first time getting that, you know, is a little worrisome, but after that, it's a breeze.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever done anything to go for antiseptic or any of the other additives that would go toward things like use in first aid or any of that kind, or have you done mostly?
I play with, you know, things like oil of oregano, you know, some of the antiseptic kind of things, but we keep, I mean, I've got industrial iodine and alcohol, you know, by the gallon down here, so I you know, I'm not that, for me, soap's just soap.
Right. Well, and of course, the thing is that really, interestingly enough, you know, the hippies pretty much had it right back in the day. God help me for saying anything positive about hippies, but I'll tear my tongue out later. But, you know, I mean, they really did have it right back in the day when they were basically like, you don't even need soap, you just use water. There have been tests and research programs that we've thrown away billions of dollars of taxpayers' money on over the past 20 years that prove that 20 seconds plus of flowing water over your hands using a brush are equivalent to that of using waterless hand cleaner or antibacterial hand cleaner. The flip side is, though, that that kills off the good bacteria, too, using those. So there's some upside to that of not using it. But being able to do things like wash your clothes is not such a bad idea.
No, it's nice. I mean, you know, washing your clothes by hand is time consuming. And I don't have a wringer, which I would make that easier.
Yeah.
I do it long term. I would say the only disadvantage in an off-grid thing to the soap is that running water or, you know, flowing water is going to be difficult for a lot of people. I didn't have running water for a long time. You know, I'm bucketing enough water to...
Right, yeah.
We normally do, you know, running water while we brush our teeth and wash our hands.
Yeah, and that's truly, I'm actually going to do a whole show on conservative use of supplies at some point, and I'm actually going to drag
calling,
you.
Yeah, calling your own water, it gets hard on the shoulders after a few years,
yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to do, next week the topic is going to be water, and I'm going to probably break it up into a few different ones, water treatment, water sourcing and gathering and such. But, you know, in Africa, they started a startup company down there using crowdshare money to fund it with someone who had come from New York. And they created these things that basically look like those 55-gallon blue drums. And they molded a thing where it's like a tube that runs through the center of it. And there's an aluminum handle that bolts together that's in two pieces that goes into the center. And they tow or push it like a lawn roller. down to the water source, fill it with 55 gallons of water, and then tote it back the other way because you're not carrying it. You're pushing or pulling it. It's quite a cool thing. It's called a water hippo. It's really cool. I can't find them in the United States, but I am told that they show up on eBay every so often.
That's a good thing to watch for, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, things like that are other interesting additives that you have to add into the mix for on the preparedness side in that event. You know, what else do you do as far as, have you ever tried doing any of the natural toothpaste, like making up natural toothpaste or using?
No, you know what? Listen, I just use baking soda.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's great as a deodorant. It's great in your laundry. It brushes your teeth great. Mm-hmm. Wash your hair with it and vinegar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So big boxes of baking soda are really your friend for hygiene.
And the nice thing is they're really inexpensive, too.
Yep, really inexpensive. Mm-hmm. Preserves for forever. You know, it's great stuff. So
a good thing to put into some 5-gallon buckets with a good sealing lid. Because the only way you can lose it is for it to get wet.
Yep, exactly.
So, well, that's cool. Yeah, I know some people who use sticks and make feather sticks and then use charcoal to do their teeth. Never liked the way their mouth looks after they get done, though.
There's some fantastic books, you know, about all these things, making your own laundry detergents and soaps and stuff, but when you're having to deal with everything on a day-to-day basis, I really just like to stick to the simple stuff.
Right. Find good water or make good, clean water and have shelter and food. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to have enough trouble just removing your own waste, staying reasonably clean, keeping everybody fed and warm and, you know, dry.
Yep, for
no,
sure.
No, making toothpaste, just a baking soda.
There you go. As long as they know to do that. Of course, the problem is most people have no idea. You mentioned a couple of my top favorites, things like tea tree oil, oil of oregano. These things go really broadly for lots of uses, for as an astringent, for a bad tooth, for a toothache, for injuries, for all kinds of things. And they just, you know, most people don't even know.
They're great. Hydrogen peroxide is probably in that category of stuff that I can't live without, that I always have a few gallons of. It's great for tooth infections and
Ice
drugs and all sorts of things.
And of course, now see, hydrogen peroxide is a really good example. The thing about hydrogen peroxide is on a cut or a scrape that's open, it will, especially if it's a cut where you need it to go back together, where it needs to heal back together, hydrogen peroxide is not always the best choice because it actually kills the first one or two layers of skin tissue, so it retards the healing. The other side of the coin is if you have the worst kind of an injury, which is a puncture wound, it's a home run or a burn. And things along that line, because it will help to immediately heal or stop any kind of an infection. So it's a double-edged sword. I tell all my students to always bring an empty, preferably food-grade squeeze bottle, like the ones that you get the mustard and the ketchup in, so that you can put clean, pure water in it. Because historically, they've proven that using that on a cut and pressure irrigating the wound to get the dirt out is more effective in healing than even the hydrogen peroxide. But I agree with you. I think peroxide belongs on the top, in the top of the list, along with vinegar and baking soda.
Yep, love the stuff. Couldn't live without it. Keep a couple of gallons.
Yep, awesome. Anything else? You tend your animals. So in a grid down situation, you have to be able to care for your animals because they might be your meat source for life, or your milk or whatever that you're already getting, the eggs from your chickens. Do you have anything else that you use with them that you can source naturally or that you would advise having in large quantities put away that won't go bad?
All the stuff that we mentioned, the iodine, the peroxide and all that, probably the only other thing that I would consider just incredibly indispensable. 3M makes a product called VetBond, And it's basically a skin grade super glue. Mm. And it's a whole lot easier to put in stitches.
Yeah. Yeah, I carry sutures. I use crazy glue, which is essentially chemically identical to that skin bond, except that it doesn't...
That bond's just a food grade, you know, kind of alternative.
Exactly. It's not a food grade level, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, love it. Great product. I would say that's an indispensable thing in our box.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you calling in and helping out today. Your input and perspectives are always quite valuable to me and everyone you come in contact with. So do you have anything going on down at the farm? Any art shows or anything coming up?
We just finished. I just had a gallery opening that was up all of October, which was great. And we just wrapped up our last farm event for the year. We've done a couple of live nativities and we... a craft fair last weekend. So we're wrapped up for the season, and it's time to kick back and enjoy a little bit.
There you go. Well, do you have a website for Whimsical Farms?
I don't. You can find us on Facebook, though.
Oh, there you go. Okay. So, well, I appreciate you calling in, Treves, and we'll be talking to you again.
You take care. Have a good holiday.
Take care now. You too.
Good night.
You take care now. So, let's go on to some of the other things. So there are some terms that you may not know, like saponin, which is actually a class of chemical compounds that are found in several different types of plants. This is a common item used for, it's basically a surfactant. It causes, what a surfactant is what makes your soap bubble up. The bubbles cause surface tension on the water, and they lift the dirt out of things and carry it away with whatever you have. The key to it, and she touched on a really important piece of the puzzle, is that we're not just talking about off-grid, but in on-grid, being able to know hygiene. But in an off-grid situation where you have no or limited amounts of water, you have to be really judicious about how much soap you use, because you won't get it off and you won't have enough water to clean it off to get yourself clean or whatever you put that soap on. So now is a really, really good time to get used to what the bare minimum is that you can use in order to minimize the need for the amount of water to get it out of whatever it is you're washing. Now I know, and we teach it in the classes, you can take a 5-gallon bucket, drill a small hole, one and a half inch hole with a hole saw through the lid in the center, put the lid back on after you put your water, a little bit of soap, and your clothing in the 5-gallon bucket, and put in a plunger. And you can use the plunger as the agitator, and you suddenly have a homemade washing machine. Wow. And then if you have a second one, you can move the lid and the plunger over to, and you put fresh water in it. You can rinse them out in that, not wasting the water, having it run off on the ground or down the drain, and go back and forth and do a few loads that way before you have to swap out the water. So it can be rather useful when you consider that the average American runs 100 gallons of water down the drain a day per person. If you only had 3 or 4 or 10 gallons a day allotted to you, you'd be in big trouble. And you can ask any college kid who lives out on his own how many days that it takes before he can't flip his clothes inside out and has to hang them outside so he can beat the dirt out of them before he puts them back on if he doesn't know how to wash in the laundromat. This is why most guys in college get girlfriends really fast, so they can learn how to wash, unless their parents taught them.
That was me. But
or you can be like someone that I know really well, who at 23 would prefer to go buy new clothes each week so he doesn't have to do his laundry.
Wow. I don't think
we'll
I could
leave
do
him
that.
Nameless.
Wow.
He doesn't wear dirty clothes. He just gets new clothes.
Jeez. Lucky that person.
But in reality, you don't get that opportunity. You may only have 2 or 3 pairs of clothing.
Right.
If it's muddy, if it's wet out, if you get dirty, the last thing you're going to do is lay around in those clothes and not have a way to be able to clean them. Then there's the other things, like cleaning your hands after you do your business, shall we
right.
say.
Right.
So if, and I talked about this before in one of the previous shows, if you're in a position where everything's stopped and you've plugged off your sewer line at your house so that you don't have it back up in your bathtub, in your kitchen sink, et cetera, et cetera, then that means you can't use your toilet either. So the best way to survive that is having quite a collection of 5 gallon bucket paint buckets with good tight-fitting lids, mm-hmm. and either if you don't have kitty litter, if you're lucky enough that you or someone in your household was lazy over the last few weeks and didn't get rid of the leaves out to the curb, you can use layers of leaves inside of the 5 gallon bucket, and each time you go, you cover them with leaves, and it will end up composting after a while. But you can seal up the full ones and put them out in the backyard or dump them into a 5 gallon or into an 80 gallon trash bag and put them somewhere that the animals will stay out of it until things get better. But people really overlook hygiene as a threat to their ability to survive. The animals are getting restless out there in the waiting room. So the thing about it is that if you think about what would happen, hopefully, when you go to the bathroom and you sit on the toilet, when you get up, your first stop is to the sink to wash your hands. Right. Most people don't think about the fact that if you've done more than tinkle, then you probably need to use something to make sure there's nothing residual in your fingernails. Do you have a nail brush at the sink where you go to wash your hands afterwards? Most people will answer no. You can get one for a buck at the dollar store, but nobody gets them. They don't think about it. If you go there and you are using the bathroom and you're not cleaning well, the next thing you're going to do is walk out, and this is how restaurants and fast food chains have E. coli problems, because their workers go to the bathroom, come out, and all they do is do the quick hand wash and run the water over their hand and walk out, and now it's in their fingernails, and they transfer it into things that don't get cooked. Remember, you kill E. coli once you reach over 165 degrees, but if it's on the lettuce they just put on your sandwich or in your salad, then you're in trouble. And this is why, over the past 4 or 5 years, almost every one of the incidents involving restaurants and fast food businesses that had problems with E. coli, it always dovetailed with them serving salads and lettuce and such, because you're not cooking it. So do yourself a favor. Have in your mind that you need a nail brush. If you have a go bag, it should be in your go bag. You should have one at your sink, so that when you get up, it's part of your routine. Because if you don't, you will make yourself sick. And nothing stinks worse, no pun intended, than getting yourself sick that way, or your family members or whoever's in your group, and not having running water and not having a toilet to use and not having general medical care that you can do.
You're in a predicament there.
Yeah. So that's why it's so important. On PracticeSurvival.com, on PracticeSurvival.com, there's a whole section on hygiene in under the core skills set area. And in it, one of the things that I have there is all about the idea that hygiene is so critical. If you are going, and this is why I say it's not even in a grid down situation, in a situation like right now, if you go into a buffet. I used to love going to buffets, especially Chinese buffet. If they have crab, I kind of basically eat them out of house and home and then go home. And I have such a problem doing it anymore, because when I walk in, I watch how many people go into the bathroom and don't wash their hands and come out, and then they pick up the tongs. Yeah. And then they drop the tongs in the food. And I am not a germaphobe, but if you know and you see it. So a little tip, if you are going somewhere that has a salad bar, go and dig down to get the stuff that's not on the top. So if the tongs fell on it, you've got a less likelihood of having it be what you ate. Second, when you use the tongs and go back, before you pick up your hamburger or your French fries or your bread to eat, get a piece of lemon, get them to bring you some lemon to your table, fresh sliced lemon, and use the lemon and rub it around on your hands and your fingernails and all, because it is an astringent. It will kill all of the bacteria on your hands. And it's right there in front of you. Get a few extra napkins, wash your hands. People watch you, say, why are you doing that? You can tell them how smart you are because you're not going to get sick. And then you set it down. And if you get up again, if you grab the chair, I was out somewhere. In fact, I ran into a place yesterday and they just redid it. It's a beautiful, well-done rehab of a diner, nice diner. Went before they rehabbed it, I moved a chair and tipped it over, and on the bottom it had gum and it had this and that. And you have to wonder what people had on their hands when they reached down and grabbed the handle to pull themselves in, or grabbed the seat to pull themselves in, and then you touch it and immediately pick up your food and eat.
Yeah.
Ugh. Like, disgusting. The thing is, we don't want to live in a bubble, because right. You'll get sick that way too, because you can never be totally protected from getting some kind of a bacteria or whatever. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, in the instance where you have knowledge to be able to limit what you're going to encounter, at least it'll only be that which you I heard John's voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear John's voice. Wednesday. I can almost do it. My voice is almost totally back.
Awesome.
Hey, Will, it's John.
Once you get your voice back, you're going to have to do that, for sure.
John, for those of you who are listening, is the owner of the station. I've been friends with him for over 20 years. He definitely has that monster truck guy's voice. Mm-hmm. No question about it. 24/7. I mean... Yeah. All the time, never ends.
He's a great guy, for sure.
Yeah, he is. So a couple of other things to cover. So if you are in a grid down situation, I highly recommend, there's a company out there right now who is doing an MLM, and they're pushing people that their microfiber claws are antimicrobial. They're antimicrobial because... they have over 20% of rayon or polyester in them. And the result of the chemical makeup in that is that they are antibacterial by nature. That does not mean, by the way, they won't get bacteria on them. It just means that they won't host bacteria to grow on them. So they're less likely than, say, cotton washcloth to sit damp for a couple days and grow mildew and mold. But you can go into, they charge $30 for two or three regular or slightly large size cleaning cloths. You can watch and go into a place like Dollar General. I looked, about 25 sets of different types of microfiber towels they had there. Three out of those 25 sets had 20 to 30% of it in that range of the proper makeup that would make them antimicrobial. They didn't advertise it, right. But it is.
Right.
And why is that important? Because for $2 or $3, you can pick up a pack of five of those antimicrobial microfiber cloths. One, they dry very rapidly. A dry cloth is less likely to get mildew and mold and have host bacteria growth. The other part of it is that you can then take them, take a Sharpie, and write on each one. This is the Will main tip of the day for hygiene. If you camp, if you hike, if you go out, if you have a go bag or an inch bag, or what I don't believe in, which is a bug out bag. Inch bag is I'm never coming home. If I'm lucky enough I can, great. But if not, I've got everything, not just 72 hours. No disaster ever lasts 72 hours. Bank on it. How many hours, how many days did it last for the people to get power back and running water and heat and electricity in New York City and in Staten Island and along the coastline of New Jersey after Sandy? It was not 72 hours, I guarantee it. It was weeks, in some places, months. So if you are not ready to survive with what you have long term, you lose. So if you have a group of microfiber towels that you can use, washcloths or even a little larger ones like the ones they sell for the cars, this is what you do. Right on one, face. Right on another one, pits. Right on the next one, feet. Right on the next one, you know where. Yeah. And then the other one, the back side. So that way you use it for that, you rinse it out, you hang it up, put it in the sun to dry, and there you are. You're good to go. Non-contamination. Have a baggie for each one. You can get a box of baggies for a buck at Dollar Tree. It's cheap. None of this is going to break the bank. None of this is expensive enough to make it matter. But I'll tell you what. If you had to, you could use one bottle. What is this bottle? My water bottle here, I think, is 16.9 ounces. I could use this bottle for 2 days and hygienically clean myself and be clean, where I'm not going to stink, where I'm not going to get crotch rot or diaper rash. By the way, if you don't know it, ask a military person who was active duty in combat what it's like when you have no shower facilities and you're pooping in a box, in a bag, sitting next to a tank or a truck or a Humvee, and then that's that. And then you go that way for 3 or 4 days and ask them what it's like at 30 plus years old carrying a 100-pound pack and an MP5 and maybe a 241 that weighs in at 26.8 pounds and you have diaper rash. And ask them what that feels like, because life sucks when that happens. And you don't want to get there. And that's really key. Right. So what do you need? You need things like zinc treatments. Mm-hmm. You know, if it works for babies, it'll work for you. Right. If you get chub rub, then that's the ticket, because zinc is one of the most all-powering capable things. If you have things that have zinc in them, they have zinc ointments, you can rub them on your skin. Right. If you get stings, if you get bugs, it enhances healing. Uh-huh. If you get a sunburn, this is why you see those dorky guys, they get away with it because they're all buff and they're hitting on every girl that are the lifeguards.
Yeah.
And they put it on their nose so they don't have their nose have to get cut off when they're 60 because they got melanoma.
Wow.
That's what the zinc does for them.
Okay.
You know, so lots of little things come together. When you look at things like eucalyptus oil, that's a really useful one. You can use it. You can look at cinnamon oil, which is a really great thing. You can use it both in food. You can use it for cleaning. You can spray it on your skin and clothing. And by the way, cinnamon oil really works well to repel mosquitoes naturally. Thyme oil does it also. Greek catnip. Soybean oil, which I don't recommend using that you intake, but you can use it on your skin and it works really well. There's lots of natural things that if you know and you're in, those of you who email me and say, oh, you know, you love Naked and Afraid. So what do you learn from Naked and Afraid? They're all idiots.
Yes.
Don't ever agree to be put somewhere without clothes. It doesn't happen. Second of all, the fact of the matter is, if you are dumb enough to go and have no clothes, do not make camp within at least 300 yards of water.
Right.
Because if you want to be eaten alive at night, you can be sure that if you're within 300 yards of water, every mosquito, every gnat, every flying insect known to man that drinks blood will find you via your carbon monoxide and your heat signature and make a meal of you.
Wow.
So these are other things that you have to consider and more. So one of the things that people get worried about is, and Treves, that's why I wanted her to call. Treves is very minimalist. She is a minimalist at the core.
Okay.
But not everyone is going to feel comfortable if you were in a grid down situation, if you're stinking up the place.
Right.
So there are some interesting things that came around during the hippie era in the 60s and the early 70s. You can go look up. You might find it very interesting. Pure magnesium oil. It was really popular in the hippie era as a natural deodorant.
Really?
Doesn't have all the negative side effects, but keeps you from making people's eyes bleed when you walk by them or are in close proximity. By the way, there are two kinds of sweat. There's eccrine sweat and there's apocrine sweat. The one that the secondary is bad. The first is spelled E-C-C-R-I-N-E. And the bad one is A-P-O-C-R-I-N-E. And the thing about it is that if you have the bad type of sweat, bacteria eat sweat. And they're actually what makes the odor, unless you're reeking of curry, like when I eat too much curry some days, or if you've eaten a lot of garlic, although it's generally exiting you somewhere else. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that when it comes right down to it, if you understand some of these basics and you put away some of these things, you can use them across the board for lots of possible uses. Mint oil. And it also works well with just a drop in your mouth to be able to kill off the bacteria that causes gingivitis. We were talking earlier and people say, well, you know, I don't really have to bother. I'm not going to make myself natural toothpaste because whatever, I don't care. But the last thing you want is to not have teeth. Because if it lasts for a few months, even if you come out of a problem, you may have left yourself a legacy from what you did not do.
Right.
So remember, people, and Naked and Afraid is a really good example. There was an episode where a girl was on there, and she was hit by the mosquitoes so much, there was probably not a square inch on her body that was free of a bite. And when she left early because she had gotten a fever. And the reason she got a fever is because you can get dengue fever, you can get malaria. She got really, really sick. And I was reading an article a couple of weeks ago about her because I was interested to keep track if I could. And she ended up with what will now be a life-altering experience because her body was damaged.
Really?
By the excess number of mosquito bites. So just like that, imagine if you went 6 months without doing anything to your teeth, and at the end, now you have two teeth that are so rotted out of your head that might have had a little cavity.
Yeah.
And because you did nothing, you end up with a problem. What if that problem lasted for a year?
Yeah.
You can't eat, even if you're not in grid down. Yeah. You can't eat. You have to do what? What are you going to do? So it's important to be ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. It's important to think now. How much does it cost you to go in and buy a packet of toothbrushes and put the other four away? If you go into BJ's, you can get even a high-end toothbrush now in a pack for like $8, and you get six of them, like an Oral-B or whatever. And at least you have them. So with that in mind, you know, these are some ideas of things to think about. We're running out of time, so I'm going to kind of wrap it up. But think about the idea, and then next week we're going to get into water, and we're going to talk about water and how to make clean water, how to come up with ways to gather fresh water so that you have less to work with. Before we go, though, I do want to remind you about our sponsor, MaxServe. They're based in Belmar. If you have or use anything that's an Apple product, they are the ones to turn to when you need help, when you need guidance, configuration. Their local number is 856-243-0150, and their 800 number is actually 888-818-MACS. And I will be, as usual, over at my friend's place if you want to come join us to have conversation over at the Meadows Diner over on Route 168 right off of Blackwood Clementon Road in Gloucester Township. And that is the Meadows Diner. So until next week, I am your host, Will Hemingway. Be safe, be prepared, have a happy holiday, and we'll see you back next week.